following are the continued questions from the Bhavan Journal, answered by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on June 29, 1976, at the New Brindavan Farm Community.
You must inquire about the Absolute Truth. And the next verse it is explained. Vadanti tattattva vidastattam jadriyanam. Tattattva. Tattva means truth. The truth is explained by the tattvabhid, one who knows the truth. How? Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sankrati. He is explained as Brahma, as Paramatma, and as Bhagavan. This is Vedanta. Now one should learn what is Bhagavan, what is Brahma, what is Paramatma. In this way one should make advancement of his spiritual consciousness. That is the purpose of Vedanta Sutra.
May I ask another question, Srila Prabhupada?
The Vedantis, they have come from the impersonal explanation of Shankaracharya, Sharirag Bhasha. But they simply give stress on the Sharirag Bhasha. But there are other Bhashas. Bhashas means commentary. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary by the author himself. Besides that, there are Vedanta Bhashyas written by the Ramanucharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, and all the Vaishnava Acharyas. Unfortunately, they do not care to read all these Vedanta Bhashyas. They simply take Sharirag Bhashya and become impersonalists and call themselves as Vedanta.
What is the reason for that? The
reason means people do not know. They cheat. Suppose I present something, misconception, and if there are others also who can speak something on this. There are two lawyers, one speaking one point of law, another lawyer speaking. So if you take one side only, then I will understand. So they are simply reading this Sharirag Bhashya. They are not reading other Bhashya. That's very good. Some of the Bhagavad, which is natural. And they are cheating people, that's all. Why there are two lawyers? Two opposite parties, there are two lawyers. One lawyer says this law is like this. And the other party says, no, it is this. And the judge is there. He will take what is the real meaning. But this interpretation is required when things are not clear. Now, the Vedanta Sutra says, janmādrśya yathā. The Absolute Truth is that from whom everything comes in, emanates. Now, here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that aham sarvasya prabhava. Matta sarvam pravartate, clearly, that I am the origin of everything, and everything comes from me, so why don't you take it? Why simply you remain theoretically understood that the Absolute Truth is that from which everything emanates? But when the Absolute Truth comes before you and says that I am the origin of everything, everything comes from me. Why don't you accept Krishna as Absolute Truth? Why do you take the so-called impersonalist view only, that God has no form? Here is God speaking, person. Why don't you take it? So if you want to be cheated, then who can stop it? Here Krishna says, sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtya, find out this word. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtya, matta smriti jnanam apohanancha.
Vinascha Sava.
Vinascha Sava Ahamayu Vedam. Vedanta Krit Vedanta Bhitsaham. Read it.
Sarvasya cha amriti sannivishto makashmati jnanam aponam cha vidais cha sabha ahameva vejo vedanta krit veda vidya
vedanta krit. I am the compiler of Vedanta. Why these rascals do not take who compile Vedanta? Back there is the incarnation of God. He compiled Vedanta. Why he does not take the original Vedantis? Here it is clearly said, Vedanta Krit. Read the purport.
Translation. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas am I to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas.
So they do not go to the compiler of Vedanta, they go to a rascal. How they will understand Vedanta? Suppose I have written this book. If you cannot understand something, if you come directly to me, that is real. Why do you go to a rascal who has nothing to do with this book? If some rascal claims that I am Vedanti, so your risk is answered, why shall I not go to the real compiler of Vedanta? Why shall I go to a rascal? So that means they are rascals, they are being cheated. Let them take to Bhagavad Gita, let them take to Srimad Bhagavatam, they will understand Vedanta. They are real Vedantis. But these rascals, they are avoiding Bhagavad Gita and avoiding Srimad Bhagavatam and claiming them as Vedanti. So if you go to a cheater, you will be cheated. That is your business. Read the purport.
The Supreme Lord is situated as Paramatma in everyone's heart, and it is from Him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life, but he has to work according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is witness to all his work. Therefore he begins his work according to his past deeds. Required knowledge is supplied to him, and remembrance is given to him, and he forgets also about his past life. Thus the Lord is not only all-pervading, He is also localized in every individual heart. He awards a different fruitive results. He is not only worshipable as the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the localized Paramatma, but as the form of the incarnation of the Vedas as well. The Vedas give the right direction to the people so that they can properly mold their lives and come back to Godhead, back to home. The Vedas offer knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Krishna in his incarnation as Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra. The commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the real understanding of Vedanta Sutra. The Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, he is the supplier and the digester of foodstuff, the witness of his activity, the giver of knowledge in the form of Vedas, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita. He is worshipable by the conditioned soul. Thus God is all good, God is all merciful. Ananta pravishta shashta jnanam. The living entity forgets as soon as he quits his present body, but he begins his work again, initiated by the Supreme Lord. Although he forgets, the Lord gives him the intelligence to renew his work where he ended his last life. So not only does a living entity enjoy or suffer in this world according to the dictation from the Supreme Lord, situated locally in the heart, but he receives the opportunity to understand Vedas from him. If one is serious to understand the Vedic knowledge, then Krishna gives the required intelligence. Why does he present the Vedic knowledge for understanding? Because a living entity individually needs to understand Krishna. Vedic literature confirms this. Yoso sarva vedir giyate. In all Vedic literature, beginning from the four Vedas, Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads and Puranas, the glories of the Supreme Lord are celebrated. By performing Vedic rituals, discussing the Vedic philosophy, and worshipping the Lord in devotional service, he is attained. Therefore, the purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. The Vedas give us direction to understand Krishna and the process of understanding. The ultimate goal is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedanta Sutra confirms this in the following words. Tattu Saman Vyayat. Tattu Saman Vyayat. One can attain perfection by understanding Vedic literature, and one can understand his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing the different processes. Thus one can approach him and at the end attain the supreme goal, who is no other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, however, the purpose of the Vedas, the understanding of the Vedas, and the goal of the Vedas are clearly defined.
He clearly says Vedanta Krit as a compiler. So why one should go to learn Vedanta from others?
How does bhakti tie into the Vedantic, the conclusion of Vedantic knowledge or wisdom? He says here that bhakti is the most suitable and easiest path for God realization. This is proclaimed. But the Vedantic teachings, he says in the Vedantic teaching, the stress is on jnana. Is that a fact?
Jnana, what is jnana? Jnana means... That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhavanam janmanam ante jnanavan maha prapadyate. So unless one surrenders to Krishna, there is no gyan. This is all nonsense. And that passing as gyan, there is no knowledge at all. Vedanta means the ultimate knowledge. The ultimate knowledge, the subject matter of ultimate knowledge is Krishna, God. See, if one does not know who is God, who is Krishna, then where is knowledge? This is fact, is knowledge. But if a rascal claims that I am man of knowledge, then what can be done? Knowledge is explained. That when one understands that Krishna is everything, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samahatma Sudhuryam. When one understands that Vasudev Krishna is everything, then that is knowledge. Before that, there is no knowledge. It is simply misunderstanding. Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavaniti, Sabdate. One may begin within personal Brahma by the speculative method, or one can realize the what is called Paramatma, localized aspect. That is the secondary stage. The final stage is understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Vedaishta sarvaya ahameva vedam. That is the final knowledge. So if you do not understand Krishna, then where is the knowledge? Knowledge, halfway knowledge is not knowledge, complete knowledge. That complete knowledge is possible, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, bhavanam janmanam. Those who are striving to acquire knowledge, such persons, after many, many births, when actually, by the grace of God and by the grace of his devotee, comes to this knowledge, then he agrees, oh, Vasudeva Sarvani, everything is Krishna. Samatma, that Mahatma, great soul, is very rare to be found. Sudurlava. Sudurlava means very rare to be seen, but the word is used, Sudurlava, very, very rare. So you cannot find such a Mahatma who understands clearly Krishna. Manushyanam sahasya sukhaschidyata siddhaya jatatam siddhyana kaschid. Siddha means liberated. So one may become liberated in that. But from that liberated position again he falls down. Unless he understands the Supreme Person Krishna. Aruchakritena param patam tata patanti adha anadikadusmadam hai. Unless he comes to the final understanding of the Absolute Truth, Krishna, he will fall down. Therefore, so many Vedantis, they first of all, they give up this world. Brahma Satya Jagan Mitha, this world is false. But again, they come down and become busy in doing some philanthropy work, opening hospitals, why? If the world is false, why you are coming down again on this platform? That means they could not get any substance by the so-called renouncement of this world. Aruchakritena, or going to that platform of Siddhi, liberation, they had to undergo so much difficulties and austerities, but still, even going there, just like these people are going to the moon planet. And actually, whether they have gone or not, that is a doubtful thing. But the thing is, why they are coming down again? That is our challenge. If you have gone to the moon planet, then colonize there. But why you have come down again and do not talk anything about? What do you think?
I really couldn't say. They've been there, they say.
They say.
They go there, they bring back
rocks.
But
we are common man, layman. We say that if you have gone there, why you do not live there?
Yes. They just bring back rocks to show us we have rocks.
If there is rock, if there is sand, then why don't you colonize there? If you have gone there is land. If you fly in the sky, and if you get a land, then you can stay there. And because you cannot stay there, you come back again. So there, the Mayavadi's position is there. Arujjakritchena param. They merge into the impersonal Brahma, but there is no place to stay. They come down again to this material world. He may go many thousands and millions of miles in the sky, but he wants to stay somewhere. But if he cannot get any place to stay, then he can come to this Moscow and New York. Our inquiry is that if you have gone there, then why don't you stay there? What is the answer?
Kirtanam Mahalaya? They say the atmosphere is not suitable.
Then why, Raskar, you go there? And spend so much money, Raskar? You could not understand that the atmosphere is not good for us. Go there and spend so much money.
They impress the people.
That means they are bluffer and the bluffing, they are all fools and Raskars, that's all. He could not understand before going there, before spending so much money, the atmosphere is not good.
But without personal direct experience,
For your direct dreams, you have to spend so much money. The people are so fools, they do not challenge it. Everyone knows, suppose the one is coming to the Western country, Europe and America, we knew it. That it is cold country, we must take proper dress, and we have come, and we are staying. So this is knowledge. If you do not know what is the atmosphere you are there, why do you spend so much money? And again you are going to the mass. When you fixed up what is the position there, then you will again bring something. Some dust and rock. And this business will go on at the expense of the people. You can do. You have got money, you can do that. But we are Indians, we are coming from poor country. You spend so much money for nothing, that is not very palatable for us. one-tenth of the expenses that you are giving to us for spreading this Krishna consciousness. No, not a single paisa you give them. And they will spoil money for going to the moon planet and bring some dust. Krishnananda Maharaj is struggling to construct a small residential quarter here, and he has to beg, he has to collect, he has done. Why the government does not pay? You have so many people are living, let them live comfortably. They will spend this money, millions of dollars, and to bring some dust. Is that very same government? And people are so fooled that they do not challenge the government why you are spending for nothing. They can do that. They brought back Nixon. Why not stop this unnecessary expenditure? Krishna Maharaj?
Makes perfect sense, Prabhupada.
Yes. For nothing. And it is sure certain you can let down. That Mars going also will repay you. Let it take in sight. I may die. I'm old man. Take it down. It will be failure. I told 10 years before that this is childish. One press reporter inquired in San Francisco, what is it? No, this is childish, wasting money. The reporter came to see me in Los Angeles. He remembered that. So if you want to spend for nothing like that, you can do that. You have got money.
If you say to a politician, give Srila Prabhupada money, like I said to one man running for governor of this state, I said, why can't you help the community in New Vrindavan?
Oh, you said?
He cited to me, so many rules and regulations. They're not interested. They're interested in pleasing themselves.
Yes.
Man runs for government, his whole position to run for governor is to please himself so that
that's
he can become
it.
Rich.
Yes, you're right. Sense gratification. Nobody wants to do anything. That is, Nixon captured the presidential post for his own satisfaction. And when the people found that he had a tree, they agitated and got him down. So, this is the difficulty that Andhāyatāndhairupaniyamāna Krepi santā viṣatantā ullāmi vantyā. We are blind and we are being guided by blind men. So the result is catastrophic.
Ask another question, Srila Prabhupada?
Mm-hmm.
Question number 9. Is a guru essential to one to enter the spiritual path and attain the goal? And how does one recognize one's guru?
Yeah, that is explained. The guru is necessary in the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna and Arjuna were talking as friends. There was no conclusion. The talking was going on, but no conclusion was made. Therefore, Arjuna decided to accept Krishna as his guru. Find out this verse. Karpanna dosa apanta sabhava.
Kapanya dosho pahata svabhava prichchami tvam dhamma samuda cheta yashtreya shyan nishchitam bruitan me shishyaste ham sari mam tvam prapanam. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of weakness. In this condition I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me.
Therefore guru is necessary. Everyone is perplexed. Nobody can decide himself even a physician, a medical man, when he is sick, he does not make his own treatment. He calls for another physician. Because he is sick, his brain is not in order. How he can prescribe the real medicine for himself? That is natural. So, similarly, when we are perplexed, bewildered, and cannot make any solution, at that time, the right person, guru, is required. That is essential. We cannot avoid it. So, in our present existence, we are all perplexed. Arjuna is representing the perplexed position of the materialistic person. And we are actually all perplexed. So under the circumstances, to give us a real direction, a guru is required. Now, here is an example that Arjuna decided Krishna as guru. He did not go to anyone else to accept as guru. So the explanation is there. Nahi prasyami. Without you, I don't find anyone.
Nahi prapasyami mama panudyad yaschokam uchchosanam indriyanam avapya bhumo asapatna ridam rajam suranam api charipatyam. I can find no means to drive away this grief, which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to destroy it, even if I win an unrivaled kingdom on the earth.
That without you, I do not find anyone else who can give me the earth.
Yeah. The doubt when the fallen yogi, who else can? I think so.
I'll
look it up in the thing.
Why do I find it?
I'll look it up in the Sanskrit index.
What is the shloka? The shloka, I do not remember exactly, but there is a continuation. You read the whole thing.
Seeing Arjuna full of compassion and very sorrowful, his eyes brimming with tears, Madhusa Dham Krishna spoke the following words.
One.
The Supreme Person Bhagavan said, "My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the progressive values of life. They do not lead to higher planets, but to infamy. O son of Prita, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy." Arjuna said, "O killer of Madhu, Krishna, how can I counteract with arrows in battle men like Bhishma and Drona who are worthy of my worship? It is better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though they are avaricious, they are nonetheless superiors. If they are killed, our spoils will be tainted with blood. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. The sons of Dhritarashtra, whom if we killed we should not care to live, are now standing before us on this battlefield. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of weakness. In this condition I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to destroy it even if I win an unrivaled kingdom on the earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven." Sanjaya said, "Having thus spoken, Arjuna, chastiser of the enemies, told Krishna, 'Govinda, I shall not fight,' and fell silent. O descendant of Bharat, at that time Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words to the grief-stricken Arjuna."
So, he has said already that I do not find any other means to pacify me. You are the only. The purpose is that Arjuna is accepting Krishna as guru to instruct him how to get relief from the perplexed position. So, in this sense, a real guru is Krishna. Krishna is guru, not only for Arjuna, for everyone. So if we take instruction from Krishna and abide by that order, instruction, then our life is successful. That is, our mission, Krishna Consciousness Movement, means accept Krishna as Guru. We don't say, don't divert your attention. We don't say that I am Krishna. We never say that. We simply ask people that you abide by the order of Krishna. Krishna says, sarva-dharmān parityajya māmekam saraṇam vaja. And we say that you surrender to Krishna. Give up all other ideas of so-called dharma or religion. The same thing. But we don't say that you hear me, I'm the authority. No, we don't say that. We say Krishna is the authority and you try to understand Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore the question is Guru. So here, from the behavior of Arjuna, we see that Guru is necessary. Arjuna was talking with Krishna as friend. But Arjuna saw that there is no good talking like that. We can continue talking. Because we are equal status. Krishna is my friend. I am also his friend. So he is answering, I am giving something. If this talking will go, there will be no fruit. Therefore he said, now Krishna, I am becoming your disciple. Disciple means there is no argument. Whatever the Guru will say, you have to accept. That is disciple. That is final. There is no argument. So Arjuna put him into that position that I cease to talk with you on equal level of friends. Now I accept you as Guru. Therefore, the Guru is necessary undoubtedly because every one of us in perplexed position. But who is Guru? Guru means Krishna. All Krishna's representative, and all others are bogus. If one does not say on the standard of Krishna, then he is not Guru. He is a bogus. That way everyone can become Guru. I have got some opinion I can say. But unless, just like a lawyer is he who follows the standard law. If a lawyer says that I manufacture on my laws, so we'll hear it. And what is the use of becoming a lawyer? No. You have to follow the standard law. Then you are a lawyer. And a big lawyer means who knows the standard law very well. So similarly, Guru is Krishna and Guru is necessary, but one must surrender to Krishna or Krishna's representative. Then he is successful. So far, now one can say that Krishna is not present. But Krishna is not present, how you can say Krishna's instruction is there? Bhagavad Gita, how you can say? Well, Krishna, absolute means the Supreme Lord is not different from his words also. The words of Krishna and the Krishna, they are the same. That is absolute truth. In the relative world, the words water and the substance water are different. If I am thirsty, if I simply chant water, 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 my thirst will not be satisfied. I require the real water. That is relative world. But in the spiritual world, just like we are chanting Krishna, Hare Krishna, if Krishna is different from Hare Krishna, then how we are satisfied chanting whole day and night? This is proof. The ordinary thing, if you chant Mr. John, after chanting three times you will cease. But this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if you go on chanting 24 hours, you will never be tired. This is the spiritual absolute truth. That is practical, any of them, but see. So, Krishna is present by His words, by His representative. Why don't you take? You have to take Guru. Why do you go to the pseudo-Guru who will mislead you? Why don't you take to the real Guru? That is your mistake. Therefore you are now disappointed, now you are in doubt whether Guru is needed. Yes, Guru is needed. But go to the real Guru. That is instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. Just find out this verse. Tadviddhi panipasena paniprasnena sevaya upalakshanti tadjnanam jnanina tadpradarshanam.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth.
This is Guru. Then one who has seen the truth.
Yes. Jnanina tatvadharshana.
So, one who has seen, Brother Arjuna has seen Krishna. That's a fact, you are talking. Now, that if you take instruction of Arjuna, then you understand the what is the instruction of Arjuna. Find out in the 10th chapter.
Arjuna Vacha. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramang Bhavam Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajang Vibhum Ahustvam Vishak Sarve Devashir Naradastata Asito Devlo Vyasa Svayam Chaiva Bravishi Me. Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier.
Vedanta Sutra says, Atata Brahma Jigyasa. Now here Arjuna is experienced, you are the Supreme Brahman. So he has seen the Supreme Brahman. Till you met Arjuna Guru, Krishna Guru. Arjuna is a representative of Krishna, friend of Krishna. So why do you go to a bogus Guru? You must be cheated. Guru is essential, it is necessary. But take the real Guru. But if you go to the bogus Guru, you must be disappointed. For your treatment, you need to go to a physician. That's it. When you are diseased, you cannot say, no, no, I don't want to. No, it is necessary. But go to the real physician. Don't go to a cheater. He has no knowledge in the medical science and he places himself as a physician, MD. Then you will be cheated. The Guru is necessary. That's a fact. But go to the real Guru. Who is real Guru? Real Guru is Krishna. Or one who has seen Krishna, Arjuna. Take them. Then you will benefit them. If you go to a bogus man who does not know Krishna, who does not know his Krishna's instruction, then you must teach it. So the answer is, Guru is absolutely necessary. Tadvijnanartham sa guru meva avigacchi. This is Vedic injunction. And one must go. But he must go to the real Guru. And who is real Guru? Who knows Krishna? Take, for example, the Arjuna, how he studied Krishna. And he says, Param Brahma Param Dhava. Read the translation.
Arjuna said, you are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth, and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyas proclaim this of you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me.
Arjuna is rectifying this, because people may say Arjuna was Krishna's friend. He is accepting as Guru. No, Arjuna says not only I, but other authorities, they also accept. So it is, everything is clear, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he should be accepted as Guru, or his representative should be accepted as Guru. Then it is. So our this Krishna consciousness moment is that we are presenting Krishna as the Supreme Guru. We take instruction from him and be benefited. But one who is carrying this message, he is also authorized. Just like one money order, it is coming through the post office, but an ordinary peon is handing over the money order, but he is the principal of the post office. Actually, the money order is being delivered by the post office, general post office, but it is coming through an ordinary peon. But because he is authorized to deliver you, he is also good. He is as good as the post office. Just you have got a letter box, a small box, but if you put your letter there, your letter will surely go 10,000 miles. Therefore, although it is a small box, don't think it is a small box, it is whole post office. Similarly, anyone who is carrying the message of Krishna, don't think that he is ordinary man. If you meet it, one box like that, post box, and put your letter, for 1,000 years it will lie down. Because it is not authorized. So, if somebody says, this small box, red box, is as good as the post office, one will say, this is a small box, how can be as good as the post office? But you see, you post your letter, it will go. Therefore, kakshadharityena samatya shastri yuktasya thabhavatariyavatari. Guru is directly the Supreme Personality of God. Why? Because he is presenting the words of Supreme Personality of God without any detail. Therefore he is so honored. So therefore the conclusion is Guru is necessary, and Guru is he who is representative of Krishna. Otherwise, it is bogus.
What about the so-called gurus that take a little bit here?
So-called gurus. They are so-called gurus. They are not gurus. That we already explained. If one does not speak what Krishna speaks, he is not guru. If you accept so-called guru, that is your misfortune. What can we learn?
Some of them will say some things that Krishna says, but they'll take from other places also. What is the position of such a person?
Well, he is most dangerous. Hmm. He is most dangerous. He is opportunist. Hmm. He is finding out customer, something here, according to the customer he is giving something. Hmm. As the customer to be pleased. So, he is not guru, he is a servant. He wants to serve the so-called disciple so that he may be satisfied and pay income. He is servant. He is not guru. Guru is the master. He cannot disobey guru. But if you become a servant, you want to please the disciple by flattering him to get his money, then you are not guru, you are servant. Just like a servant pleases the master. He is not a guru, he is a servant. So, our position should be servant, yes, a servant of the Supreme. So, a guru means heavy. You cannot utilize him for satisfying your whims. That is not good.
So we're continuing with this questionnaire from Bhavan's journal in Bombay. This is question number 10. Question number 10, Srila Prabhupada, is, will mantras lose their sanctity if they are not in Sanskrit? will mantras lose their sanctity or holiness if they are not in the Sanskrit language?
Mantra in Sanskrit language, it may be, the letters may be different, but it is a transcendental sound. The sound must be vibrant. We cannot translate it. The sound as it is, just as Hare Krishna, Mahamantra, the sound must be produced. You cannot translate. Then it will be athavat, that is prohibited. You cannot interpret or do otherwise. The sound vibration must be there. Then it will continue in sanskrit.
Is that to say that the mantras can be written in Devanagari script or in Roman letters?
It doesn't matter.
But the sound must be the same.
Yeah. The sound is important.
So the sanctity is in the sound vibration, and not so much that it's in the Sanskrit letters itself. May I ask another question, Srila Prabhupada? Mm-hmm. Are fasting and other dietary regulations necessary for leading a spiritual life?
Certainly. Tamasa brahmacharyena samena dhamena ma tyagena satta saucabhyam jamena niyamena ma. So, advance in spiritual life, these things are essential. Tapasya. Tapasya means voluntarily accepting something which may be painful. Just like we are recommending no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat-eating. So those who are accustomed to these bad habits, for them, in the beginning, it may be a little difficult. So in spite of becoming difficult, one has to do it. That is called tapasya. To rise early in the morning, those who are not practiced, it is a little painful. But one has to do it. So this is called tapasya. So according to the Vedic injunction, there are some tapasyas that must be done. It is not, I may do it or not do it, must be done. It's like in the Mundaka Upanishad, it is ordered that one must go to the spiritual master. So vidyanartham sa gurumeva abhigacchet. So there is no question of voluntarily, but it must be. And one must carry out by the order of spiritual master and the order of the shastra. That is called tapasya. It's like in all life, ekadasi is compulsory. One may feel some inconvenience, fasting, or simply eating food. No, it must be done. There are so many rules and regulations, which is essential. It must be done. That is called tapasya. Without consideration, whether it is convenient or inconvenient for you, which is must be done, that is called tapasya. But what the Bhagavad Gita says, that you have that order. So this human life is meant for tapasya. Therefore, in our Vedic civilization, we find so many rules and regulations. This is tapasya. So from the very beginning of life, brahmacharya, to go to the spiritual master, play and act like menial servant, nichava, so they said. If the spiritual master says that you go and pick up some wood from the forest, and one maybe a king's son, but he cannot deny the spiritual master's order. He must go. Then Krishna, he was ordered to go and pick up some dry wood from the forest. So he had to go, although he was his father, Nanda Maharaj, village, Vaishya king, and Krishna was personality of Godhead, but he could not deny. He had to go. Nichava, just like menial servant. Hadarikar Brahmachari, this is tapasya. So tapasya is so essential that one has to do it. There is no question of alternative. Then brahmachari, then if he marries, then grihastha, that is also tapasya. He cannot have sex life whenever he likes. No. The grihastha said, you must have sex life like this, once in a month, and only for the getting children. So that is also tapasya. They do not follow, people do not follow any tapasya dependent government. But human life is meant for tapasya, regular dependent. Even in ordinary life, just like you are driving a car, you are going to some urgent business, and you saw on the red light, you have to stop. You cannot say, oh, I have to leave by this time. You must go. No, you must. That is tapasya. So tapasya means to follow the regulative principles strictly by the higher order, and that is human life. And animal life means you can do whatever you like. Either keep to the right, keep to the left, it doesn't matter. But there, offense is not taken because they are animals. And a human being, if he does not follow the regulative principles, it is sinful. He will be punished. The same principle, just like when there is deadlight, if you do not stop, he will be punished. But a cat and dog, if he turns places, never mind deadlight, he will go. The tapasya is meant for the human being. He must do it if he wants at all progress of life. That is essential.
In terms of diet, dietary regulations, eating.
That is also tapasya. That is also tapasya. Looks like we are prohibiting meat eating. So in your country, this is a little troublesome. From the very beginning of his life, he is habituated to eat meat. The mother purchases powder, meat, and mixes eggs in it, and by force. So he has been trained up eating meat, and I say, don't eat meat. So then we have some. And to be serious, he must have said the order. That is the order. Tapasya means in diet, in practice, in behavior, in dealing, and so on, everything there is tapasya. That is all described. Mental tapasya, bodily tapasya, and what is called? About this bhakti-vigam, this is tapasya. You cannot talk nonsense. You have to talk something, nonsense, better, according to truth. Don't talk nonsense. Savayivana Krishna Padaravinda, Vachansi Vaikuntha Gunarva. If you talk, you must talk about Krishna. Let it serve. Shastra has ordered me not to talk loosely anything, only talk of Krishna. See, if he does that, then it's tapasya. Tapasya is the matter of words. Tapasya in connection with body. Tapasya in connection with mind. Bhata vegam, krodha vegam. One has become angry, and he wants to express it by beating or something doing very. But tapasya is restricted. No, no. I want to kill you. Tamasya is restricted. Vasu-vegam, Kodha-vegam, Manasu-vegam, Pudha-vegam. I am sexually inclined. But I cannot do it. This is not the time. That is tamasya. I am restricted. And in this way, tamasya in every way. Bodily, mental, words, practice, dealing, these have to be learned. That is called tapasya. And that is human. Suppose if you want to make progress in spiritual life, and you are human life, human being, you must act according to the Shastric injunction. That is called tapasya. Brahma, before creation, he had to undergo tapasya. Is it not stated?
Yes.
Yes. So tapasya is essential. You cannot avoid here.
This is listing of the three capacities in the Gita.
Yes, read it.
Devadvija Guru Pragyan Pujanam Sokam Ajivam Brahmacharyam Ahimsacha Sariram Tapahuchite. The austerity of the body consists in this: worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother. Cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence are also austerities of the body.
Shall I do the purport?
What?
Purport?
No. Tapasya what? Not there.
Oh. Anudvega karam bhakya satyam priya hitam chayat swajaya Vyasanam Chaiva Vanmayam Tapa Uchite. Austerity of speech consists in speaking truthfully and beneficially, and in avoiding speech that offends. One should also recite the Vedas regularly. Manaprasada Somyatvam Monamatma Vinigraha Bhavat Sam Sudhiriti Itat Tapo Manasam Uchite. And serenity, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purity of thought are the austerities of the mind. Saraya paraya taptam tapastat trividam narai apala kankshibir yuktai satvikam parichakshate. This threefold austerity practiced by men whose aim is not to benefit themselves materially but to please the Supreme is of the nature of goodness.
Yes. The aim is to please the Supreme through the spiritual mind. Just saprasala, bhagavat prasala. This is yours. Now who is teaching this tapasya? Where is the school college? The smoke, this is tapasya. And they are smoking before teacher. No offense. Well, what do you expect from such students?